Police have yet to figure out how John Alamohammed got hold of the gun he's alleged to have used in sniper shootings. One thing is clear, he was not supposed to own a firearm. NPR's Larry Abramson reports that gun control activists are using the case as proof that stricter firearms regulation could prevent some of these tragedies.
John Alamohammed could not have bought his Bushmaster XM15 legally from a gun store. If he'd tried, a mandatory computer check would have showed that Mohammed was a prohibited person. His ex-wife had gotten a permanent restraining order against him that should have stopped him from ever owning a gun. But somehow, Mohammed got around that background check. We don't know how, but Matt Bennett of Americans for Gun Safety has an idea.
What may be what happened is that he was sold the gun under the table. That is, he was sold the gun without a background check and without the paperwork required by federal law.
As of June of this year, that gun was in the inventory of Bullseye Shooter Supply, a gun store in Tacoma, Washington, where Mohammed lived for a time. That gun dealer has no record of what happened to the weapon. It was never reported as stolen. So one possibility is that someone in the store sold the $800 weapon to Mohammed under the table. That could be a serious crime. But according to Matt Bennett, some dealers don't worry about that.
The dealers feel that they can get away with it, and they do it all the time.
Statistics show a small number of dealers are the source of the vast majority of guns. The dealer in this case was reportedly investigated earlier for losing track of 150 guns. But records show that the federal government rarely tries to suspend licenses of rogue dealers. Matt Nosenchuk of the Violence Policy Center says alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agents cannot simply shut down a dealer who's suspect.
They also are prohibited from inspecting gun dealers more than once a year. So there's some significant restrictions on ATF's ability to effectively monitor and enforce laws that gun dealers are supposed to comply with.
Former ATF official James Pascoe says it's true. Cracking down on dealers is onerous.
It was time-consuming and cumbersome and involved ultimately, if a dealer chose to pursue it, going before an administrative law judge and then potentially into federal court.
But Pascoe says that does not mean ATF has been slow to act. He says the small number of license revocations hides the agency's real achievement. Over the past two decades, ATF has taken steps to crack down on the number of licensed dealers.
Requiring a storefront inventory and so forth, and are real indications that that person intended to engage in the business. And by so doing, ATF was able to reduce the number of licensees by somewhere in the neighborhood of 60%.
There are many other ways Mohammed could have gotten that weapon. Someone else may have bought it from the gun store and then sold it to Mohammed, perhaps at a gun show, so no background check would be required. Gun control supporters are clearly hoping to fill in some of those loopholes. Their success may depend on whether voters and politicians decide to blame this murderous spree on the industry or on the two men accused of planning it and pulling the trigger. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.